It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Guys, welcome back to the Establish the Path podcast, presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Bubble. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan. Dylan, now we pick back up here with our picks for Week 12 in the 2023 NFL season. It's been quite an interesting road to Week 12, and these matchups, as we were kind of looking down the board here, like, some of these are not the greatest, but there are others where it's like, you feel like one team should be maybe favored by a little bit more, and yet they're not. And so it's kind of a sneaky week where it's what kind of what you hope is this point in the season. You don't have a lot of those 10-plus point spreads. Now, there's a couple that, for some reason, you and I are going to bank on as betting locks. But there are a lot of these that are those shorter type, 3-point, 3.5-point or less type spreads. And so it could make for a very competitive week of action with some close games.
Yeah, it feels like Vegas maybe knows something we don't in a couple cases. But, it's kind of things have evened up. It's what Tom Brady said it last night. There's a lot of, as he put it, a lot of mediocre play. Yes. I don't know if that's exactly how I'd put it, but obviously he's a little more knowledgeable about those kind of things. But, there's a lot of teams in the middle. And then you do see the bigger spreads when you have a couple some of these teams at the top facing ones below. But, yeah, it should make for, at the very least, really competitive games. There's been a number of times this year where there'll be matchups on primetime TV or primetime games, and you're like, is this going to be great football? And it not always is, but like, for example, Vikings Broncos had a fantastic time watching that back and forth game. And felt like those two teams played quite well. So even when it's not the most beautiful football, even the Monday night game between the Chiefs and Eagles had its fair share of mistakes. Obviously the weather played a factor there, but it's just been a really, really fun season. Even though we have a pool of contenders kind of at the top of the league, I don't feel like there's a point maybe early in the season where I really felt there were only a few teams that had what it took to win it all. Right now I think there's a pretty healthy number of teams that should feel like they have a realistic chance. That's partially some of the top teams have taken a step back, some of them have taken a step back and taken a step back forward, like the Niners. We'll talk about them in a sec, but yeah, it's making for some really competitive games, and it makes for high drama, which is what the NFL thrives on, what I thrive on as a fan as well, with all these games, especially when the Rams are still on the outside of the playoff picture, just hanging around though.
Just hanging around. We'll talk about their game in a minute because they've got an interesting one coming up. But as always, we will jump into our picks here with our games of the week, betting locks, upsets, and quick picks. We're going to probably move a little bit quicker through some of these games that really are just pretty brutal from a motivation standpoint for some of these teams based on how their season's going. Not the case for this one, our game of the week, which is the Bills at the Eagles, which the Eagles are 3.5-point favorites in this one. Philly coming off of the comeback win against the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. And meanwhile, the Bills, a surprising 6-5 this season. We know there have been some injuries that have factored into that on the defensive side and those kind of things. But this is quite a setup here, Dylan, because there is the possibility the Bills go to 500 through 12 weeks if they lose this game. And that is not something that we probably ever expected to say kind of coming into the season. And yet here the Eagles are still 9-1, only lost one game, which again, think about the weird things that happened during the season. That was to the Jets, who, we'll talk about them in a minute and kind of where they are. But I don't know. This is one where it is hard to believe that this feels like as must win of a game as it gets for Buffalo in terms of kind of where they are and what this could mean for the momentum moving forward. Just again, kind of given the situation that they're in right now. But how do I pick against the Eagles, I guess, at this point, in terms of just seeing them keep finding ways to win games? Yes, some of these have been close, but, to me, it's who do you trust more in this kind of scenario? I know it's a shorter week for the Eagles, but yeah, it's hard to say, but I just don't think I can pick against the Eagles here, even though this does feel like kind of that potential turning point type game for Buffalo if they can win this one.
Yeah, it does feel like a teetering moment for them because the Bills, if you're watching any of the Jets game and even the week before against the Broncos, they made light of the fact their schedule is not going to be easy.
No.
Not just this week, but down the stretch. They get the Chiefs right after this, the Cowboys, the Chargers, and then they finish with the Dolphins after a game against the Bills, against the Patriots, who already beat them once. So it's a very crucial moment for them. I still think they're much better than their record, even for all the different criticisms that there have been about their play. A lot of fluky kind of things, a lot of lack of concentration, a lot of big moments where drops or fumbles or different things have kind of led to their demise, not getting a 12th man off the field against the Broncos. The Broncos loss doesn't look so bad with the way they've continued to play. But yeah, they're a team that has been frustrating, obviously, for their fan base. A lot of questions about whether Ken Dorsey really deserved to be fired or if it was kind of a scapegoat situation. If anything, maybe did light a fire under that offense with the way they played against the Jets, and also maybe a reality check too. And maybe this is more so what a lot of the things that were that you could point to that were going wrong for this team on offense, it's still third in DVOA on that side of the ball. Could be pointed at the players, not the coaching. One thing, at least in the Jets game, you did see Josh taking the shorter kind of check downs a lot more often. It seemed like he wasn't trying to push it necessarily down the field as often. Still going to see those great plays where he has the arm talent and those things are utilized. But I do think there's more to what is happening right now with this team. And the Eagles, yes, they're obviously great at 9-1, but they're down at 10th in total DVOA. Their defense, for everything said about the Bills' defense, is still ranking right next a couple spots ahead of Philly, at least in DVOA. And, obviously the Chiefs are great. They haven't scored in the second half of three straight games, not just against the Eagles. And if they had caught some passes, it might have been a different story and not fumbled there with the Kelce fumble too. So a number of things that went Philly's way that did not go their way in the Super Bowl in that one on Monday night. And I think they're still a really good team. They're still finding ways. I think that's a really good Chiefs defense that they found a way to get two really clutch touchdown drives to take the lead there in the second half of that game. I saw, again, I've seen a lot from Philly's offense where you feel confident that they've kind of figured some things out. The early in the year were a little bit more sluggish. Just a case of two teams that have had very different luck, and maybe the Eagles are the better team. They are favored by 3.5, but I'm going with Buffalo in this one, just partially as a feel thing in terms of, yeah, at 6-5, this team just feels so much better than their record. And they got to get one of these wins here against one of these tougher teams to kind of hang around in the playoff race, make the Steelers, make the Texans, make some of these other teams that are on the outside in the wild card spots ahead of the teams on the outside sweat a little bit. So I'll go with Buffalo to continue what they did on offense, not try to do too much. And maybe though, when Josh does need to do it, he'll make a couple superhuman plays and we'll see a little bit more from them. It's going to be a much bigger challenge for Buffalo's defense, obviously, than facing the Jets. I am concerned about that side of the ball. I think we have a chance for, unlike the 21-17 Eagles Chiefs game is a little bit not low scoring, but on the lower side of what you might've expected. I think this Buffalo Philly game has a chance for both offenses to put up big numbers, and we see a really fun game there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I can remember back. I think we may have talked about this on the podcast, but October the 1st, the Dolphins and the Bills. The Bills, of course, 48-20, they completely dominate that game. And I'm like, man, I'm jumping all over a nice futures bet on the Bills here because it's going to go nowhere but up in terms of the odds. So I was like, the odds are only going to get better from here, in their favor. They're going to win the Super Bowl. And they were at plus 1,000 then. They're at plus 2,800 now. So that is a bet that we will just take and burn because that is not ideal in terms of value there, thinking that was the way the season would go. But of course it is not. Big game though, like you said, given the upcoming schedule for the Bills here. All right, that's the game of the week. Let's talk about our betting locks, as we alluded to. Speaking of the Dolphins, great segue. Some reason both of us are going with the high valued points here. And the reason why is because there aren't a lot of them elsewhere. As I said earlier, there are a lot of games that are really, 4 points or less type spreads here. The majority of the games are just like that Bills-Eagles one. But I'm going to go with the Dolphins. They are 9.5-point favorites on the road against the Jets, which kind of ties into the conversation we just had about, where the Jets' offense is right now. They're going to go to Boyles, their starting quarterback. Yep. Now they're just waiting to get Aaron Rodgers back maybe in a month or so or whatever it is. But, yeah, Zach Wilson benched. look, 9.5 points for the Dolphins against a team that just cannot get anything going offensively, as you said before we started recording. I just don't see this change necessarily being one that's all of a sudden the Jets are going to explode offensively and, you know, put up four touchdowns here. I just don't see that happening, even against the Dolphins defense that I think is, you know, giving up some easy points at times. But yeah, I'm not seeing it dealing with this Jets team and knowing how good the Miami offense can be at their best. You know, we haven't seen some of those explosions like we saw early in the season recently, but we know it's there. And for that reason, yeah, I will take the Dolphins to win by, you know, double digits here, even in a road game against the Jets.
Yeah, I think we've seen the Dolphins defense start to improve. Obviously, having Jalen Ramsey back, the couple picks there against the Raiders, had a fantastic game. But just it is a defense that also Jalen Phillips, the pass rush, it's starting to come around. It's not by any means dominant. But if they can get closer to, you know, right now maybe in the low 20s, high teens of like where they rank as a defense, if they can get closer to the top 10 with that offense, it does make this a much scarier team that I know still a lot of criticism about them not beating any teams that are over 500. But there's plenty of teams that you can point to, as many Dolphins fans have on Twitter and NFL history, that have only beaten one team over 500 in the regular season, won a Super Bowl. You can only play the schedule that's given to you. We have seen them hang around. I think obviously you mentioned that Bills game early in the season. They hung around with the Chiefs, a couple things here and there they could have beaten them. I think this is still a really, really sound football team across the board. And the Jets, just as much as you want to believe in that defense, they have, it's just, there's only so much you can do. And so I think it started to wear them down at times in that Bills game, a lot of frustration for that unit, as it was the case last year. There is one part of this team too, though, on that side. They're 18th in rush defense DVOA. That is not something that you want to be against a Dolphins offense that has ran the ball just about as well as anyone. So I see big gashes for that running game, setting things up for Tua, and against a team that wants to pin their ears back, it's going to be tough to do so with the Dolphins ground and pound. So yeah, I'm with you. I think the Dolphins win, and I have a hard time not seeing them win by at least a couple scores here.
Yeah, Dolphins 30th in the NFL in rushing defense, giving up 137.6. Or excuse me, Jets 130th in rushing defense, giving up 137.6 yards per game there. So teams are definitely realizing you can run the ball on the Jets, and usually, again, teams are playing from in front as well. So that helps, just given the nature of the Jets offense at this point. So yeah, I'll take a shot on the Dolphins winning this one by double digits. My betting line. Speaking of a double digit betting line, you have one officially here, and that is the Commanders at the Cowboys. Cowboys 10.5 point favorites in Arlington. I told you, I said if this was 10, I'd probably be all in on this one, and I think they should still be able to do this. We just saw the Commanders lose to the Giants. I feel like, though, it's one of those situations, and I don't have the stat in front of me, but we've seen it like with the Eagles and that kind of stuff with the Commanders, where they tend to, you know, play some of these upper teams a little better than maybe you would think. And I don't know, that I suppose it's possible here, but at the same time, the Cowboys have just been on a roll, as we know. And you know, so I think this is one where I would probably be just fine with this one. Again, Washington's lost the game in Seattle the way they did there, you know, again, had their chance against the Eagles a month ago or whatever, lose the game at home against the Giants. They just don't have any momentum going right now outside of a game that, quite frankly, they should not have won it against New England. The Patriots kind of, gave them an opportunity to win that game. So, yeah, I mean, the Cowboys are just ridiculous right now on offense. And, you know, something else, too, I think you can also learn about a team that they are putting, you know, their foot on the gas against bad teams. Like they are beat, like they beat the Panthers by 23. They beat the Giants by 32. Rams, you know, necessarily a bad team, but they're not, you know, an elite team. They beat them by 23. And so, yeah, I mean, well, yeah. So, I mean, you keep kind of looking at that. They beat the Giants the way they did, you know, the Patriots and so forth. So I like the way the Cowboys have played against underwhelming teams at this point, and so I could definitely see this being the same scenario to get you your betting lock here.
And maybe I have a little bit of oversight on the Commanders, but it's just I think they've played the Eagles kind of closer, more so than some of these other better teams they've faced over the last couple of years. So that's the one thing when I looked at, you know, up and down kind of the games to get a little more concerned. Early in the year, I thought, yeah, that obviously Sam Howell kind of has been inconsistent, but still has a chance to put up big performances from time to time. I just don't see, though, against this defense that the Cowboys have right now, with the way especially that they're playing defending the pass. It's just a really tough unit. If I'm going to be afraid of anything for this spread, it's going to be Washington, you know, finding success on the ground, kind of keeping Dak and that offense off the field as much as possible. That's the formula. I think that'll at least help them cover the spread, but I have a hard time regardless thinking that they're going to be able to win this game. I just, they're right now 32nd in Washington's defense and pass defense DVOA. Man, I it's going to be a big day for you as a Dak fantasy owner. Yes. From what I can tell, it has been for a while. And I just, this is another defense that has been better defending the run. And I think the Cowboys will happily, in this case, let the ball fly a little bit. Rush offense has still kind of been something for Dallas that you'd like to see improve a little bit more as we get into December soon. But for right now, Dak's letting it fly. Things are looking good, especially this game. I have a hard time seeing Dallas just on Thanksgiving not going out there and making another statement. They've kind of, like you said, you pointed out a lot of those games where they've not taken their foot off the gas pedal against teams that are inferior to them. Similar to the Dolphins, questions for the Cowboys about how good are they with the quality of what their wins are. But again, they can only play the teams in front of them. And it is a sign of a good team, in my opinion, is, you know, you're not just beating the mediocre and bad teams in your schedule. You're pounding them. And I think we'll see another one here.
Yeah. Washington, as you said, pass defense is not good. Per covers worst. The team that is allowing the best quarterback rating to the opposition is Washington. Meanwhile, Dak is top five in that category. So I would guess he has a good game here. So yeah, I don't hate this pick at all for the betting locks. All right. To our upsets of the week, full disclosure, I think I have 3 upsets on the board and they are all 1-point spread. So I didn't really, you know, go out on a limb here, although there's one we're going to talk about in a minute that I should have, I think, picked. But we'll talk about that in a second as we breeze through that game, because it's not exactly a matchup of Super Bowl contenders. But so technically, I'm going to go with the Jags or the Texans here. The Jags are favored by a point on the road in Houston. We kind of just, as we said, we moved this up into this category so we talk about this a little bit more than the other games that had 1-point upsets. But the Texans, speaking of that, we talked about the Bills and their Super Bowl odds changing dramatically. I told you, Dylan, I said, if you're going to pick one team way back when, early in the season, I said, get it now, because this thing's going to go up. We were seeing it, and the Texans have gone, I think, from they were 27th at 1 point in Super Bowl odds. Mm-hmm. Now they have the 12th highest odds to make the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying you should go out and bet the Texans to win the Super Bowl, but that just shows you how much of a jump they've made. You know, they are above teams like the Saints, the Chargers, the Steelers, Vikings, and so forth. Now, Bengals, of course, which have dropped because of the Burrow injury, which we'll talk about in a second. But, yeah, I mean, listen, our division here, AFC South, I told you, I'm all in on the Texans at this point. So, with C.J. Stroud doing what he's doing, great game. We've already seen the Texans win this game this season in Jacksonville. And so, yeah, I'm going to go with the Texans here.
Yeah, pretty dominant fashion, too. That was kind of a game that I think that was, week 3, where it felt like, oh, wow, this Texans, there's more meat to this team than just being kind of frisky in some of these games. I mean, Stroud played spectacular against a Jaguars defense that, you know, outside of a couple games this year has been pretty dominant still, I think, in the 6th in defensive DVOA. So that matchup's still going to be tough. They're a little bit better against the run than the pass. Texans offense, it definitely is it all goes through CJ. I mean, and he's been absolutely phenomenal. Had some mistakes in this past game. So you did see some hiccups there against Arizona. But he's had a tendency to kind of break those things off. I think, obviously, the way he played against Cincinnati in that game against the Bengals defense that was rolling at the time, that has maybe taken a step back a little bit now, obviously, with the Burrow injury. It's not going to help matters for how they're playing. But, yeah, it's a game now that suddenly Jaguars, Texans that I, you know, like I was mentioning to you before, it was could have been on the game of the week line. I have a feeling that this is going to be a potential game of the week for years to come. I really think that this division, as we've talked about too, with all the young quarterbacks here, see how everything pans out with Will Levis. Still think he's played solid with some of the things around him. And obviously Anthony Richardson has to stay healthy, but this is a division that suddenly has a ton of fun young QBs and definitely at the top of it right now, despite what those two have done. It's CJ and Trevor. And I just can't wait to watch this one. And going with the Texans, just I feel thing here with the way that they played that last game. The Jags defense maybe will wreck some things and make it tough. But we've seen when the pocket's muddy, CJ has not had a problem. His receivers are playing great. Obviously, a lot made of Tank Dell, but even the other guys, it's a unit that, man, Robert Woods, I was sneaky. I was like, this is a perfect kind of guy to be there, to be the yeah. the mentor, the uncle in the room, you know. And he's been everything and more from what, you know, you see the guys kind of interact with him after games and what they talk about with him. Obviously, I'm always going to love Robert Woods. But, yeah, it's a team that, like, you, I mean, when you said that on that episode, I'm sure anyone listening at the time was like, all right, buddy, like, it's all fun, but like, come on. But now, like you said, I mean, look at where the odds have moved. It's a team that on defense still, I think, has some things that need to come around. But Will Anderson, a lot was made about what they gave up to trade up for him. And everyone's like, they're going to be giving up a top two or three pick this year. It's not, as we know now, it's definitely not going to be the case with where that pick's going to be from Houston going to Arizona. And Will Anderson has been legit. His numbers are up there with some of the better pass rushers, not quite at the top, but for a rookie, definitely a building block piece. If you're a Texans fan, I mean, you basically in one season with the coaching hire of D'Amico Ryans with some of these draft picks, I mean, they're already a team that's going to be in this AFC playoff conversation. It's kind of crazy. And this is a huge game for if they win this game, they're in first, yep. right? They'll swept the series. They'll have the same record as the Jags. So one I can't wait for. And, you know, we'll see if Trevor Lawrence has something to say about it with both of us picking the Texans. I think there's a reason they're a favorite here. And it's partially because he's, you know, had a pretty good performance this past week after a dud of a game against San Francisco. Much different defense here in Houston than San Francisco, obviously. Maybe we can see him put up some points. And that Jags defense has been kind of their X factor all year. That they're the part of this team that I did not necessarily see them being a top 10 defense going into the year. And that has really elevated the Jags from being just another AFC possible playoff team and probably the favorite just by default in this division to a team that, yeah, if they win this game then they got – the two-game lead on Houston. It's a huge, huge matchup with so much on the line. And it's not like you can just not win a division two in the AFC and feel good about it because of the sheer volume of teams in the playoff race. So a lot on the line for both teams just to even stay in the playoff spots.
Yeah, very interesting, I think, to see what happens here. Because like we said, Texans, I mean, we could look back on this draft they had, just the first two, like the two picks in terms of how they, what they did to get there and like, how important that could be one of the most significant 5 years from now if this team's, you know, dominating the AFC South and all that, like you said, completely sort of change their fortunes with everything from that to the coaching hire and all that. So yep, we'll see what happens here. Should be a fun matchup between the Jags and the Texans. All right, to your upset of the week, the Browns are at the Broncos 2.5-point favorites in this game. Don't look now, the Broncos are back. They have won four in a row, got a couple, you know, big wins in there, several dramatic wins. Three of those four are by 2 points or less. But hey, they've won the games and have completely sort of turned things around now, back to 500 at 5-5. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Browns are 7-3. They've won three in a row. And again, another team that's won some close games. If you look at their, I think it's their last four wins. Maybe it's like last that. Five wins. So they won 13-10, 33-31, 39-38. 19-17. So four of their last five wins are by 3 points or less. So fully expect this to be a close game, Dylan. Said Broncos 2.5-point favorites here in this one. I am going to stay on the Broncos train, so I'm not the one picking the upset here. You are. But, man, there's something about this Browns team right now. You said before the season, you called it. Hey, this Browns team, if you look at the playoff odds, they were way higher than people seemed to think they would be going into the season. Of course, Deshaun Watson's out for the year now. We know that. But, hey, they get a win over the Steelers, you know, and the momentum keeps rolling along with Dorian Thompson-Robinson there. And, yeah, man, this is little did we know how intriguing of a matchup this would be, just given, like, the Broncos are playing their best of the season. The Browns continue to make strides, and it's an interesting setup here in Denver.
Yeah, this was a game that I was like going into the week when I was, you know, putting our picks sheet together. I had no idea what the spread was going to be. I'm not surprised where it is, but I just didn't know. I was like, this could go in a number of different ways with the way the Broncos have played lately, and obviously just the dominance of the Browns defense. And yeah, that's partially why I'm just staying with Cleveland. I do want to see them maybe let DTR throw the ball a bit down the field. They played a really conservative game plan, knowing how dominant their defense has been. And how important that was going to be against the Steelers, and not, you know, it's a different Steelers attack where we know how many turnovers they force. There's a reason they've put together a winning record despite getting outgained in all of their games. And I just think it's a little different here. I know Denver's defense has played better, but there's still those early season performances are still keeping them down in the bottom DVOA wise. I think they're much better than that. Looking at some of the defenses down there with them, I'd take them over quite a few of these units. I'd probably bump them up into their low 20s of where I, in my mind, they are. But that's still a much better attack for Dorian Thompson-Robinson and this Browns offense to be facing than the Steelers. So I think we'll see a little more production there. This is really about this defense for the Browns. I know that the Broncos have put together this winning streak, but I just don't, you know, it's really, you can't really replicate what the Browns have done with the teams they've faced. I think the toughest defense they've faced in the last, in this winning streak, was by far the Chiefs. They played them twice in three games. One game only scored 8 points. The other one, they get up to 24. So maybe we do see another one of those performances. Maybe this is, there's something to the Broncos. And I still think they could be a factor in this playoff race, just given their schedule and what they've been able to turn around on offense, at least. Definitely, given where they were early in the year, I feel like they're a solid unit on that side. And still obviously have questions about the Browns offense, but I just, the defense is so dominant. I could see them. I just have a hard time right now picking against them in this game, even though they are officially the underdogs. I'll go with the Brownies to find another big win. They need to probably, you know, like you mentioned, just getting to the playoffs is kind of, obviously they'd like to do more, but in these last seven games, they got to just probably cobble together three wins. And this looks like one that's on the borderline, but one that, like, if they win this game, then you're feeling pretty good about a 10-7 finish at least, and probably a playoff spot for Cleveland.
Yeah, I said this game sets up a lot more different than what we thought it would be probably earlier in the season. So,
Yeah,
definitely an interesting one here with that. All right, let's go to our quick picks. We're going to lump these two together. We've already talked about one of the Thanksgiving games, but the Packers are at the Lions. The Lions 7.5-point favorites in that game. 49ers also at the Seahawks. Niners are 6.5-point favorites in this one. I mean, the Lions still find ways to make it interesting, Dylan. But hey, they find a way to win the game against Chicago. And look, I mean, they're sitting here at 8-2 right now, right? Like, they've made it interesting, but they're still have won 8 of their 10 games. And, you know, have been right there in all except for the Ravens game. And so, yeah, this is one I'm going to pick the Lions in this one. I mean, Green Bay just still a lot to be desired, of course, injury-wise there too. Something to note with Aaron Jones. And then on the other one, you know, Niners at the Seahawks. I guess Geno Smith's injury is worth monitoring. Kenneth Walker, all of that. But, yeah, I like the Niners in this one. It's hard to pick against them in this spot, especially, again, given the injury unknowns for Seattle right now.
Yeah, 100% with first of that San Francisco Seattle game. I feel like that's the one I'm going to come back to and regret not picking was the betting lock. I think regardless of who plays at quarterback, but especially obviously if Geno's out, I think the Niners are going to roll. I just think they're a significantly better team. I think that one game difference in the standings is a little deceiving. There's a reason, you know, we both picked the Rams. I know we didn't record, but we had our picks put up on Clutch Points on the website, and we both had the Rams beating the Seahawks. They're a team that, yes, they're in a playoff spot and probably still have a chance of making the playoffs, but Seattle's one that has that tough schedule that everyone's, you know, similar to the Bills, but, you know, a little different case in the NFC where there's not nearly as many threats to making the postseason. But they got the Niners twice in the next 4 weeks. They got the Cowboys. They got the Eagles. I mean, there's a chance they're 6-8. They got to find a way to win at least one of those games, probably two, but at least one. I just don't have a hard time on the short week with some of the injuries that happened and the way that, on you know, just overall on offense, it was a really discouraging second half, even before Geno's injury with the way they were playing. Rams defense was flying around. They did give them kind of some exotic coverages. They're playing some four safety stuff they hadn't done all year. And it really made a difference coming off the Rams bye week. But I still think for Seattle, it's a team that has, you know, they've barely lost a few games, but they've barely beaten teams like the Commanders. So they're one that I just don't have the faith in. And I think that right now for the Niners, that offense was absolutely dominant. And I don't think Seattle has the pass rush to force as many problems as you'd want for Brock Purdy and co. So, and they're, you know, they got most of their guys that are back now, obviously, on that side. So I see the Niners rolling. And then the other one, yeah, the Lions, man, weird game. Jared definitely looked the worst he's looked. Some decisions that weren't just like the Bears doing anything fantastic, just Jared seeing things and not processing the way he has so well throughout the year. But to his credit, as you know, he really stuck with it and got, you know, turned it to another level in those last two drives to win the game when he needed to. And I know the Packers have kind of hung around in this, all similar to the Rams at 4-6, right? They've kind of hung now suddenly only a game and a half back of a playoff spot. They're kind of just chilling there, but still have questions about their defense. Still a team that you feel like it, when you need to against them, you're going to be able to drive the ball. I just think the Lions are a significantly better football team. I think the defense will play better. I think Fields did have a pretty solid game going for the Bears there last week. And even if Jordan Love has looked better, I think there's been some really encouraging things, not just in their last win over the Chargers, but also with the way he played in the loss to the Steelers against a really tough defense. Seeing some growth from him, some encouraging stuff, but still think the Lions are the better team, so we'll go with Detroit here.
All right, then there's this one. The Patriots at the Giants. The Patriots are 3.5 yes. point favorites on the road here. Definitely a quick pick on this one. I told you, this is the one where I don't know why, but I really want to pick the Giants here. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pick the Patriots, but I'm telling you, if there's one we're going to talk about, this is the one I'm going to say, why didn't I pick the Giants? Because we don't know who's going to be the quarterback for the Patriots. Not saying the Giants are great. They're 3-8. Patriots are 2-8. But Giants just built some momentum. I don't know where the momentum is for the Patriots right now. And so spread-wise, give me the 3.5 with the Giants, but I will take the Patriots to win the game here, I guess.
Yeah, it's like you said, this is a definite quick pick candidate. I will say that this game has, I think, I forget who it was opposed to this, but it's one of like five games left that has dramatic impact on the top of the draft. I mean, it's obvious when you look at these two teams' records, but what it could mean for the Giants' chances of getting one of the top two picks just completely evaporate, essentially, if they win this game, whereas it gets a lot more muddy if they find a way to win against the Patriots team. That, yeah, like you said, we don't know who's playing quarterback. I just think that overall, their defense is the one unit in this game that I think has enough pride to come out there and play really, really tough against. But we do see, obviously, with what Dexter Lawrence and that Giants defensive line have kind of wrecked things for other teams. So it's going to be an ugly game. I'm going with the Patriots. I just think the Patriots are still a better team. I think they're not quite as bad as their 2-8 record. They probably should be more like a, you know, 4-6, 3-7 type of team. Yeah. Whereas the Giants are, in my opinion, a little worse than their record. I think they're probably like a 2-9 team. So I'll go with the Patriots in an ugly game that I just feel like by default, I'm going to pick them. I know the Giants just won this week, but I'm going to have a hard time picking them in a lot of games the rest of the way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, this next one, Steelers at the Bengals. Steelers favored by a point in this one. Another one I'm going the upset, quote unquote, here with the Bengals, which I don't know. Again, this is just, I know they're without Burrow, but it's like sometimes we see this where it's just, you know, all of a sudden player, you know, team loses star player and then they come back and win the next game. Like, but yeah, look, Steelers just fired Matt Canada. I know Steelers fans are thrilled right now, but I would fully expect this to be a field goal type game. And I'll take a shot here with the Bengals as the home team and the underdog in this spot. But look, I don't know that I trust either team, to be honest, in this scenario, but I'll take the home team with the Bengals, even without Burrow.
Yeah, I don't blame you. This is a kind of a weird game now with Burrow out, obviously. Would have felt pretty good about picking Cincinnati. I feel like they're still, even with their record, if they had lost that game last week to the Ravens, would have felt like they were going to win this one and muck up the playoff race a bit more. But I think the Steelers finally have a game where, all right, you feel like they should now, with Browning out, take advantage. But there's a reason they're still only a one-point favorite. You know, Matt Canada, yes, I do think it was probably overdue. There's all the hilarious posts about, you know, actual facts about how the Steelers haven't fired a coach midseason since a guy that was a part owner of the team fired himself from coaching.
1941, just, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It's classic Steelers. But I think it's as much as Matt Canada can be blamed for some of their issues. I won't say that they have like an offense that is built to be dominant. I know there's some players that people are really excited about as Steeler fans. Obviously, Jaylen Warren with a fantastic game really kept them in it against a really tough Browns defense, was just running through them. I do think he has a chance to continue to be a focal point for them. Obviously, George Pickens, some of the receivers you want to feel good about, but it's still an offense that they've faced a really, over the whole Matt Canada era, a lot of tough defenses. I think the Aaron Schatz posted they'd play the toughest defensive schedule in his whole tenure. It's the Bengals. I know they're playing pretty well at one point in the middle point of the season when they kind of made their rebound. They're forcing turnovers, but it was a team that was kind of dependent on forcing turnovers to an extent. And once that kind of has stopped the last couple of weeks, we've seen them kind of become more middle of the pack. And that's where they're in the 22nd in total defensive DVOA, and they're 30th against the run. And that is not a good formula, in my opinion, against the Steelers attack that has finally kind of been like, you know what, we just seem to be they already kind of knew they're going to be a low scoring kind of a team, but they've really started running the ball more. They took some of the stuff after they played the Rams, funny enough, they took some of the concepts that the Rams have been doing with the motions and using Puka as kind of like a flying fullback almost. They're running some similar stuff where it's starting to work for them. And that's the kind of copycat league we have. And I think they're just going to continue to double down and pounding the rock. And so I'll go with the Steelers to win this game, even if we'll see if Browning and the Bengals offense can put up some points. They're going to have to play really conservative. I see them kind of having maybe too conservative of a game plan against Pittsburgh, similar to what we saw from Cleveland's offense, where they're just going to try not to turn it over. That doesn't always end up leading to the point total you need to win the game.
All right, now we enter a stretch of games that, boy, there's a lot of frustration probably for many parties involved. All right, the Bucs are at the Colts. Colts are 2.5-point favorites in this one. This is, to me, one of the more unpredictable games out there. I'll go with the Colts because they're the home team. If this was in Tampa, I'd take the Bucs. Like, it's pretty simple as that. These are two teams that both outside the playoff picture right now, although the Colts a little closer than the Bucs are, but yeah, I guess give me the Colts, perhaps.
Yeah, I'll go with the Colts too. I for the reason just I said, being at home probably plays a role. They have, they were in Germany coming off the bye week, so they have a little more rest here after the Bucks just got beat up in San Francisco. So those kind of things have to fly all the way back, then go back to Indy. I think it's a coin flip game still. The Bucks have kind of been frisky in some of these ones, but I'll go with Indy as well.
The Saints at the Falcons. The Falcons are favored by a point in this one. Somebody's got to win this division. And right now, it seems like these are the two most likely options. Although, again, the Bucs have the same record as the Falcons. The Saints are 5-5 or whatever, I guess. So, I don't know. Like, these are two teams that, good luck if you can figure out what these teams are. I don't trust the Saints. I don't trust the Falcons. Falcons are going back to Desmond Ridder as a starting quarterback. I am surprised by that. I didn't think Taylor Heineke looked bad at all. But this is what you get. And so give me the Saints on the road against the Falcons because, I don't know, I'd have to look back at it. But I don't even know what the head-to-head is with this. I'm actually going to look it up real quick while I've been looking at this. So the Saints have won 3 in a row in this series. They've won 8 of the last 10. And remember, 21-18, 27-26, 27-25. Like, these games have just been ridiculous. I find it hard to believe either team pulls away here. So I'll take the Saints in a close one.
Yeah, I'm going with the Saints as well. I know I've said it a few times here that I've regretted that division pick for the Falcons. I think we might have both had them, both these teams, making the playoffs. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore. The NFC South has become the division where someone's just going to win it. It's kind of a running joke right now. And this game might actually end up being a pretty important one for who does that. But with Ridder having to be in there for Heineke, I mean, it's still a really confounding, frustrating Falcons offense. And I just have a hard time, even if the Saints are still struggling, at least they have a really solid defense that I think could ultimately force some turnovers and be the difference here. So I'll go with the Saints and game that, another kind of coin flip game that someone has to win, or I guess they don't. I hope maybe this will be a tie. Maybe it won't matter who we pick here.
True. Someone does not have to win. And this may be the one where we get a tie. But by the way, if the things ended right now, playoff wise, the Saints would host the Cowboys in the playoff. Good luck with that. All right. The Panthers, the Titans, another one where it's just like, oh my goodness. Panthers are 1-9. As we know, Titans are 3-7. Both teams, bottom two teams in their respective conference right now. I'll take the Titans here. Titans are 3.5-point favorites. Give me the Titans in this one because, boy, it's been bad for both teams. I think both offenses are just brutal to watch at times. But I will take the Titans.
Yeah, I'll take the Titans as well. I think they're, at least on defense, they have enough guys up front, some bullies that are going to cause some problems for Carolina's interior offensive line. I know it was a really tough defense they just faced against the Cowboys, but There's some concerns for sure about with the coaching, or some reports about the ownership being concerned that we're starting to see Bryce possibly regress in some cases from he has, you know, with the situation that has not been great. Is it just the players around him? Is it also the play calling? There's a conversation there. But some of his own reads and things, it's the kind of stuff that you hate to see creep in. And it's happened so many times with young, promising quarterbacks that get into bad situations. And you see kind of some of the habits that just will pick up because it's just tough. So I'm really hoping the Panthers figure some things out over the last few weeks, and if they don't, maybe don't wait too long to act to try to help your rookie quarterback that you put so much faith in with the number one pick. But I don't think it's going to happen this week. I'll go with the Titans here in a game I don't think that has a revenge element or like an element for Will Levis of feeling like he was slighted. I think he feels slighted by the entire league after falling out of the first round, probably. Yeah. But to be facing the number one pick here, maybe there is a little extra motivation for him to go out and kind of show what he can do there in Tennessee.
All right. And then we continue on. The Rams are at the Cardinals. The Rams favored by a half a point here in this one. Yeah, I mean, this is another one where you've got two teams that are just, you know, at least the Rams, look, technically still in the conversation. When you look at the playoff race, would need a very strong finish here at 4-6. But they're not, you know, they're not to the Cardinals level, 2-9 at this point. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with the Rams for lack of a better choice. But like you said, you know, the Cardinals have Kyler back, and that at least gives you, you know, some opportunity to do some things. We've seen that, you know, in the games he's played now. And so yeah. I think this is one where, okay, this is an opportunity, but I think the Rams have sort of dominated the series over the past little while, at least last 4 or 5 years, I guess probably further than that. I'm looking at the last 10 results. They're 8-2 in that one. I think Rams are also 7-2 and 1 against the spread in those games. So yeah, I will take the Rams.
Yeah, it's basically the whole McVay era. It kind of flipped from beforehand, where that wasn't necessarily the case in this rivalry with Bruce Arians and some of those better Cardinal teams beforehand. But yeah, the Cardinals, yeah, there's a reason it's a half point. It's because Kyler's back. I don't think there's much else to say about it. I mean, their defense has had some solid performances over the course of the year, but man, it's still down at the second to last in DVOA. Against the Rams offense that has really struggled. We saw them struggle against the Cardinals the first time they played in the first half. Then they kind of figured out that they could gash them with running the ball. The guy that was doing that is coming back this week, Kyren Williams, an offensive line that I think we saw even their identity at times in the last game against the Seahawks, where when they finally started going back to running the rock, it opened some things up. They need to stick with it. Hopefully in this game, given what happened the last time they played and what happened in the second half against Seattle, I see that happening. A defense that I think, yeah, like I mentioned briefly earlier, has some interesting wrinkles post-bye that I think could kind of mucky the picture up a little bit for Kyler and this passing game. So enough things where the Rams are the better team. They should win this game, but still don't feel, you know, at first I was like, should I make this a lock? I'm like, I don't know because it could go. The Rams have not looked on offense. They've been sluggish. It hasn't been pretty. And now with Cooper Kupp potentially out for this one, I still have some questions there, but I think it's a game that if they don't galaxy brain it and they keep the game plan simple and run the ball enough and let Stafford throw in the right situations, I think there's a chance the Rams do win this one pretty comfortably.
Chiefs 9.5-point favorites on the road in Vegas to play the Raiders. Hey, the Raiders have been very competitive in Antonio Pierce's run here of, what, 3 games so far, 30-6 against the Giants, 16-12 against the Jets. They lost that good game on the road against the Dolphins 2013. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if this thing's close. But I also see this as a bounce-back spot for the Chiefs, which we've seen before. They do a pretty good job of that, you know, whenever they're kind of in that situation where they come off of a which, I mean, I don't think they played bad. They just, like we said, they dropped a lot of balls and made some mistakes that they don't usually make. Well, I say that. They lead the NFL and drop passes this year. But still, it felt like one of those games where they know they should have won the game. They should have made enough plays to do that, and I think they bounce back here and get the win. But again, I wouldn't be shocked. The Raiders playing with a lot sort of inspired football now under Pierce. So
Yeah, it should be an interesting game on with the Chiefs on the on offense. I think they'll put up some solid points, but the Raiders defense has fought from being down in the bottom kind of the league to being, I think, yeah, 16th in DVOA now, which is kind of crazy. They're playing really hard. They obviously have some really talented players. Hobbs, I think, is like top three in terms of his PFF grade as a slot corner. Obviously, we know what Max Crosby can do. So they've that side. It's the Chiefs' offense I'm more curious about, but I think the Raiders at least can be somewhat of a challenge there. Where will things continue to stay a little sloppy? The reason I think the Chiefs win this game for sure, the Raiders' offense has not been fantastic. They put up a pretty less than stellar performance there against the Dolphins. Even if they had some good games against the New York teams, they were the New York teams. And even on offense, they didn't do a ton against the Jets. And this Chiefs defense, I still think, is really, really good. I don't think they're going to have every game kind of look like against the Eagles, where those not a lot of teams are going to put together those two touchdown drives that Philly was able to end up winning that one. So I'll go with the Chiefs here to win. But yeah, don't feel as great about the coverage of that 9.5. It feels a little dicey. But watch them just win by like 20. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
They're good enough to do it. We know that. So the interesting spot though here against the Raiders on the road. So. All right, the Ravens, 3.5-point favorites on the road against the Chargers. This one, a little bit more meat on the bone here. But listen, this is a – talk about big games. A big game for the Chargers. Remember, this is a team that's 4-6 right now. And this kind of – you know, again, we talk about must-win games. This is as must-win as it gets probably for the Chargers, just because, you know, again, they are way down there when you look at kind of these teams that are jumbled in the middle, right? Like we've talked about – Colts are 5-5. Broncos are 5-5. Bengals are 5-5. Raiders are 5-6. So this is a significant game here for the Chargers. Unfortunately, they're playing the team that has the best record in the AFC. Yeah. And so I'm not picking the Chargers in that spot. Give me the Ravens here. And although this is, again, I think this is where you find out whether the Chargers are, going to make a push here, because if they lose this one, they are in a tough spot the rest of the way.
This is a weird game where, like, for all the games where the Chargers, you feel like they should win and then they don't. And that's kind of like the running joke. This is like the one where it's like they find a way to actually get it done. It's also the kind of game with the Ravens where they're coming off that big win over the Bengals, where we've seen them lose a couple where they've you felt like they've been the better team and just a couple things don't go their way. The Colts game in particular comes to mind. But the Chargers defense, there was some quotes about, I think Ian Rappaport was talking about how this game wasn't on the defense and their loss to the Packers. And that's fine, because there were a lot of mistakes. Obviously, the drops from the receivers were in such crucial moments, and a number of cases were big. But it's still like some of the best numbers the Packers had put up all year as an offense statistically were given up by this Charger defense that is down at 29th in DVOA. They are awful against the pass. They're awful against the run. I see the Ravens defense or offense just carving them up. The Ravens receivers after Mark Andrews went down had a really good game against Cincinnati. I thought all those guys kind of stepped up. I think they're ready to go. I think they're ready for this moment. I see Baltimore. Yeah, even if Justin Herbert, he's doing everything he can, man. I mean, this team's definitely – this is one I think is better than their record, their estimated wins based on their play on the fantasy. The site that has the DVOA numbers now with Aaron Schatz has them at 6.4 compared to their 4-6 record. So they're a team that has gotten a little unlucky, but I don't think this is one where they're going to be. I think they're just not as good as a Ravens team that is tops in the league in DVOA and has been just dominant on both sides of the ball.
All right, and then there is the Bears at the Vikings. The Vikings, 3.5-point favorites in this one. I guess what after this week, I guess officially starting, they can do the Monday night flex scheduling. Of course, this doesn't factor That's into that, right. But it is something for everyone to note moving forward. Although when you look at the schedule, there are some of those where it's like, oh, they'll flex that out. I think the Chiefs Patriots one was one that people brought up, but like they're not flexing the Chiefs out of a primetime game with Patrick Kelce with Patrick Kelce. Let's just go with that.
That's a new nickname.
That is really it. Like with Patrick Kelce, that's the reason they're not flexing him. There's another name you can probably throw into the mix there now too. But so I think like it's one of those sort of scenarios where it'd be interesting to see if they do that moving forward. As for this game, look, it's not the most thrilling game on paper, but there is at least a lot more intrigue now that Justin Fields is back for the Bears. Again, they had their chances to beat the Lions on the road. Josh Dobbs, doing his thing for the Vikings. I know they came up short in that game against Denver, but remember, this is still a team that had won five straight before that, you know, in wild fashion. So I feel like you're going to get an entertaining game here. And, it, you know, Justin Jefferson not going to be back, it sounds like, for this one. But still, I'm a little more interested in this one than maybe I would have thought. But again, a lot of that has to do with just Justin Fields being back.
Yeah, I think there's, this game could go either way because of that fact. But it's the, they talked about it a lot on the Sunday night game. It's what Brian Flores has done with this defense with the Vikings that last year was pretty underwhelming despite their record. Now a top 10 defense. If, you know, similar situation where you're like, if you told me they were going to have a top 10 defense, you know, different than the Jags, obviously. But if you told me they were going to have a top 10 defense, I would have been like, I mean, this is a not just a playoff team, but they can really challenge the Lions for the division. That loss to that loss last week kind of puts that in a tougher spot. Obviously, the Kirk Cousins loss has itself, but Josh Dobbs has looked pretty good taking over, even with the defeat in this last one. I think they're going to be in a decent shape with the, on that side of the ball, and also playing complementary football with the defense that is flying around, making things look complicated. That has been a tougher part at times for the Bears and Fields when defenses can force them into passing situations. This is the case for any younger quarterback, and kind of force them to process in real time and you know, maybe go to their second, third reads. It's not going to be easy. So the Bears will probably try to run the ball a lot, probably try to put Fields in more favorable situations. But I just have more confidence in the overall coaching of O'Connell and Flores and this team and the Vikings. So I'll pick them to win as well, even if I do think, yeah, with Fields in there, it makes it a more spicier, a little more fun matchup to watch, and gives the Bears a shot here.
Yep, I will go with the Vikings too. Maybe more interesting than you think. Again, given that 3.5-point spread for a team that is right outside the playoff picture right now in Minnesota. So there you go. There are picks for Week 12 in the NFL. And, of course, still a lot of stuff over at Clutch Points to get people ready for the upcoming week of action. So let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, you can go to the Clutch Points app to follow all of the games in Week 12. Tons of good stuff in there. Yeah, you can go also to the website, clutchpoints.com, to the NFL section, our fantasy section as well. Getting some of the overall prediction stuff out a little earlier this week with the holiday. But yeah, should be a fun week. Should be some fun games. Always great with Thanksgiving football. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, man. And yeah, should be a fun weekend as it always is, and one of my favorite weeks just overall of the year. I know you're a big college basketball guy. I was really hoping UCLA was going to pull it out against Marquette last night, but still looked better than I expected in some other really good games this week. A lot of just a good sports week overall.
Yeah, of course, the NFL, you know, you don't just get the Thursday Sunday anymore. You got the Black Friday game with the Dolphins and the Jets, although hopefully my betting lock comes through and may not be as interesting. You maybe have a better time shopping than anything else, but there's plenty to dive into with this week of sports. And yes, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there as well. Enjoy it. And again, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, any podcast app you use, search for Establish the Pass. And thanks as always for listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.